Daniel's 2 minutes.
Okay.
And Mr. Brownstone.
Mr. Brownstone.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Brownstone, why don't you come up? You have your 3 minutes.
You
right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
My name is Andrew Brownstone. I'm the owner and principal of Biosphere Consulting Incorporated, located in Santa Cruz. We are the designers of the alternative wastewater systems for both the Molar projects proposed in the Carmel Highlands. I want to take a moment to really express my appreciation for the resources and time that just this organization has put into this project and other projects. I'm well aware that you have your sights on much bigger, more sensitive issues, and I'm just incredibly grateful, I'm sure you are, that we're approaching the time when these local counties will have their own wastewater management plans, so you won't have to go through this cumbersome process of permitting every individual alternative system. I also have to take this opportunity to express my sincere appreciation for Matthew Keeling. I've got an opportunity to work with him on several projects, and his professionalism and attention has just been stellar. And we've had several long conversations, and I think we've both learned a bit from each other. But his ability and willingness to focus on the intent of what we're trying to do and apply and understand the technical issues relating to wastewater and on-site wastewater, it's been really refreshing for me.
I can't give him a raise, Mr. Brownstone, so I don't know what agreements you entered into with him.
And to hear about his recent new baby is really great news. Okay, so let me just quickly address the four things that really came up in my mind. One, I think you're absolutely right, Chairman Young, about the designation of the dispersal area for making sure it is left undisturbed. That's very important. Fortunately, it's the homeowners themselves that have that investment to take care of their wastewater system. I think it's a really good idea to make that clear to the homeowners that this area, this dispersal area, is to be left undisturbed, no traffic, no gardening, no vegetable gardens. And we do submit to them a homeowner's manual to tell them that makes that point. Regarding the power outages, also I thought I should point out that when the power goes out, sure enough, people use much less power because they can't operate their laundry machine, their dishwasher, so forth. There's so much redundancy in these that the amount of water generated during a power outage is very minimal. The surge capacity of the system is very close to 300 gallons. So, when the power's out. As far as an as-built final letter, we always submit a letter saying the system was designed according to our specifications, if that's the case, along with as-built drawings showing any changes in the plans.
And that gets submitted to the county.
To the county.
That's what I would like to see happen.
A condition of their approval, right?
That's right. With whatever plans match the as-built conditions.
Right, based on our construction observations.
Okay. So that's already a requirement?
In Santa Cruz County, it is.
But we can go ahead and put it as a condition of our waiver, and that would be fine.
Absolutely. Okay. Great with me. I think it's a great idea.
I think Jana just spoke up, and I know we've talked about this as part of their ongoing evaluation of what the on-site wastewater management plan will look, because when they do that, they're going to have to update their ordinances for on-site systems, and this is something that's been discussed in a way to document that the systems have been designed that way. And
okay.
This discussion's kind of reminded me of that discussion.
Good. All right. Go ahead.
Lights are out. That's pretty much it. I think his staff report covered all the bases. I'm here for questions. Will it work? It will work. A third of it will work.
Can you address Mr. Wilson's, one of his primary, I get the name right, Mr. Wilson? Yes. One of his primary points was about his wet area at the base of the wall.
Right. I'm not sure why it would all collect in one point. I don't expect it to flow subsurface to one point. I think there's ample conditions for it to be spread out and evapotranspirate. We worked carefully with the builders to make sure the drainage was going to be appropriate with the system. I think we're spreading it out sufficiently.
Have you put in other systems or designed other systems in the Carmel Highlands area?
Yes. We have one in the Carmel Highlands I was intimately involved with. We have almost 200 of these very similar systems in the Central Coast that we've been involved with designing and permitting and maintaining and servicing and monitoring.
What do the neighbors have in terms of their own on-site systems? Are they leach pits?
The neighbors in this area?
Yeah. Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Although right. I don't like seepage pits. I think they're a bad idea.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, would you permit just 1 second so there could be a colloquy between the two about that issue that was just raised about the collection?
A colloquy between who?
Well, between Mr. Wilson. I mean, it's like they're talking past each other.
Well,
you
they...
Take
okay.
1 minute.
They can talk out...
Oh. It's no purpose unless you hear it. No, I mean, if you won't permit it, you won't permit it. I just was asking if you would permit it.
Yeah, not at this time.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Briggs.
Yes.
I think Mr. Daniels has time. Is that correct?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay.
Thank you very much.
And then we're going to finish up with Dr. Mueller. You want to speak also? Okay, why don't we let you go first so that Mr. Daniels can comment on anything that you may say. And does your wife also want to speak?
No.
Okay.
Just a little bit of summary. You know, we started this back in 2000 when I bought the property. And I actually, the representative to the person that sold it to me was Mr. Leland Lewis. And it was represented as 3 buildable lots. No question on the first two, 006, 005, done deals. The smaller one, there had been some questions on it, but Mr. Lewis felt that was quite buildable lot also. He even wanted the owner to raise the rate, but she was basically telling me that I would build the two houses on 05 and 06. We did go through county planning and looked at all the best uses and spent some time with them, and this was their recommendation as the best way to go. To least environmental damage to build these houses. And the lot line adjustment had been approached to them before and from a previous person, so it wasn't like a new idea. So just to kind of get that out there, the other thing is about houses being too close together. Out there, they're 1 acre lots, but they're basically a small building pad with maybe enough room for a nice septic system, and that's it. And you'll see houses stacked one right behind each other because the rest of the acre is up a hill or down a canyon. And these houses are split further apart than a lot of the other houses up there. They're like clusters of houses here, there's the clusters of houses here, there's clusters. And with all the in-between land is unbuildable canyons. Not that they're unbuildable. You could, you know, an engineer could put a house anywhere reasonably. But just to go on from that, power outages, we do get a 10-year event down there. All the trees fall down. We're at without power for 5 or 6 days. We had that last year. We had that in 98. Probably not again because all the trees fell with one big event. But this house is designed with a simple plug-in, and I put one in my Carmel house because we had loss of power for like 3.5 days. And my system actually cost $600, a $300 generator, and there was a 220 there, so we hooked into the 220 and shut off the PG&E, and you're done. You have power. New houses, the water, you get cold water only. Hot water does not work because you need electricity. And so consequently, you use very little water when power's out. And I bet we didn't use 100 gallons over 3 or 4 days when our power was out. Septic approval. I had both of these approved for septic back before 2005. And even lot 005 was approved in just before this ordinance went into effect. I was given the approval. Yes, you can do septic. 1 week later, this ordinance came and they took it back. I'm not sure there's a legal basis for taking it back, but they did. I guess that's my time. And anyway, any other questions?
Any questions from the board?
Nope.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It has been a long, expensive process, and as far as getting this done.
So. Yeah, and it looks like you may not be done, you know, in the near future, too, with, you know, what lies ahead. Okay, Mr. Daniels, and then we will conclude with Ms. Silkwood.
2 points in connection with the observation by Mr. Brownwood, I guess it is, about the flow from the area toward W. I think what the evidence will be is that there is a 8-foot drop from where the number 15 appears on the diagram down to the W. Water, as I recall, flows downhill. That's the reason why it's going to gather down there. So the direction of the flow will be toward the bottom of this diagram, which the staff put on the board. The second point that, again, addresses the condition. Ms. Silkwood has said, and I don't know who the author of what she read into the record is, the representation of the text is that this particular set of lot line adjustments conforms to state law. I just submit to you that that can't be true. It is clear from the text of the statute that I gave you that there has to be compliance with the local coastal plan when a lot line adjustment is made. That has to be an acre. There is no way around that. So I don't know why that's being represented, but let me just say it underlines the importance of your declaring a condition that the waivers you grant today are contingent on the approval of a lot line adjustment, because that's the fight for another forum. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, last and final speaker is Ms. Silkwood. Okay. All right. It's in the hands of the board, Mr. Briggs and
well,
staff.
Well, Mr. Keeling, have you? Do you have some final recommendations or a couple of items, for example, with the as-built and with the protecting the dispersal or disposal area?
No, I do not. I think based on Mr. Chairman's last response that he felt that among his peers there that I know the response was satisfactory, and I think both Andrew and Jana's comments I think address those directly, that is something that they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, my main concern, Matt, would be the as-built plan, that be a condition that whatever is built, that there be some certification by Mr. Brownstone with a set of plans so that the public knows what's in the ground. You can't hear me? Okay.
So you're saying that you would like to have that as a part of the resolution?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to check the resolution here real quick, because I'm thinking it might actually be in there. It was a while since I wrote this, and I haven't been getting a lot of sleep the last week, so why don't we just take a look first?
Well, why don't we just say if it's not there, put it in?
That's fine.
Rather than have you spend your time just waiting for you to look for it.
You're going
to
let me go?
Okay, and then we had the change in the supplemental sheet.
Yeah.
So that's it as far as changes? We'll add it if it's not in.
Yeah, we'll
add
that.
The as-built in if it's not in here.
And that's to both resolutions. And then the proposed condition regarding a lot line adjustment approval for resolution number 60 for 192 San Remo Road. That's item 27.
Right. Any other closing comments or any other changes?
I was done at good afternoon.
But aside from that, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that we have answered the comments and questions, I think, satisfactorily. I know a lot of the written comments that we received certainly had to do with issues other than were our purview. But in terms of the water quality issues, I think we have answered those all those questions well, so I'd recommend approval 26 and 27 with the amendments that we just spoke of.
Question for you, Matt. In looking at the resolution itself, you know, for 0061, I know this was a question raised, I think, by Mr. Lewis in his written submission. How can somebody from the outside ensure that the discharger is actually doing what is being required in the resolution?
I could answer that.
Okay, go ahead.
The resolution requires that the owner provide enough that the county or the regional board staff can inspect to ensure compliance. So if a person is concerned, they contact the regional board or the county and say, hey, we don't think it's working. Can you please inspect? And that would be the same for any, you know, any situation.
Well, are we requiring then that there be some written record made when these inspections are going to take place? P.
You mean the discharger inspections?
P. Yeah. P. Right, like P. The discharger shall inspect the sewage disposal system every 2 years at a minimum for solids buildup and having to pump that as required by a licensed septic tank contractor. Who's going to document that that's going to take place?
Is that
the county going to do that?
Usually the county does it.
The county requires that an operation and maintenance contract be in place with both of these systems, and we also require that reports of pumping and inspection be submitted to us to ensure that the O&M is being kept up.
Okay.
And the waiver requires that the discharger comply with all applicable ordinances and permit.
Okay.
Thank you, Jana.
All right. Okay. Any other board comments or questions or anything from staff?
That's it.
All right.
I'll move staff recommendation with the added addendums, as mentioned.
Okay.
Yes. A second. Can I just confirm that you do want to add that they have to submit the certified as-built drawings?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That was my understanding as well.
Yes.
Yeah, the certification and as-built drawings.
Yes, and then the added staff recommendation to resolution 0060, right?
The one that I had up there?
Yes.
The final. Correct.
Yes.
Okay, and before I call for the vote, I just want to say that, you know, to the folks that have testified against these two projects, that as I said before, the issues before us really involve the water quality aspects for these two systems, and I think there isn't any evidence that I have seen, at least, that would lead me to feel that we're going to have an issue here of a threat to water quality. These are highly engineered systems, and I have a lot of faith that they're going to do as they've been designed to do and produce good water, and there isn't going to be a problem with pollution. The other issues that have been raised, I'm not insensitive to congestion in neighborhoods and lots of density with homes and lot sizes and all of these things. That's not before us in terms of anything we can do about it. It's the water quality. And as long as these systems perform as these professionals have certified that they will, that's going to be good enough for us. So, having said that, I will now call for a vote on the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
I did have a second. Yeah,
oh.
Mr. Hodgman, we have a second.
I missed it.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
I have, Mr. Chair, the next item is item 34, Scotts Valley Dry Cleaners, which is a written